Now, this is your host, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years. We just ask you to continue to do what you can. The link is still up on our website at inhissign.com for Giving Tuesday. We can make that Giving Wednesday now if you so desire and looking to make a couple of donations. Please consider donating to In His Sign, and then especially as we get to come to the year end and people that do their year end giving, we'll be making that appeal again. But because of your generosity, we're able to bring you great shows like today's. And this is the last Wednesday of the month, which means it is Divine Will Wednesday. And that means that Peter DePalma is with us. And every other month or so, Peter will bring a guest with him. And today he has brought Sister Francesca, who I believe is still in Italy, right?
Yep, still here.
So all the way from Italy, is it 10 o'clock p.m. or 11 o'clock there?
It's 11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they don't have the...
Don't rub it in.
No, but I mean, we flipped the clocks since our last get-together, so... they must not flip them in Italy. I think it's usually a 5-hour difference, right?
No, it's usually 6 hours. Oh, is it? We flipped them, I think, 2 weeks before you guys.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay. But, Sister, it's a pleasure to have you back. We had just a minute to talk before we came on. And those that get involved with the gift of the divine will, Louisa Picaretta, the Book of Heaven, and highly encourage you to get on Peter's email list, and he'll send you... emails regularly to let you know who he's having on and when. And he's got multiple podcasts throughout the week. And Sister Francesca and the Benedictine Sisters of the Divine Will are often part of those. And, you know, Sister Francesca is just one of the most joy-filled people that I've ever listened to or had the opportunity to be around. And I was sharing that with some folks last night. You know, if you're feeling down and you need to be pumped up, you know, today's show is the one to listen to. And I think that and Peter, we know this from the people that get involved with trying to learn about this gift of the divine will, that they are the happiest people on the planet. And just before I give it to you, the witness to that was my good friend Father Douglas McKay, who's the rector out at Malvern. And he's one of these guys I've been trying to bring along. And he took over as rector at Malvern the week before the Divine Will Retreat, where Father Celso, Mother Gabriel, and, you know, over 300 other people that are involved in various cenacles showed up. And Father came back to Grace Ferry, to Our House Ministries, after that weekend. And he's like, Ken, I couldn't believe how happy these people were. And it was to a person. There wasn't anybody that was down. Everybody was full of joy. And I think that that's part of being aware of this gift and, you know, being allowed or able to get glimpses of it through God's grace once in a while, to know that from time to time we're actually living in that divine will. And in doing so, you can't help but be filled with joy. So that said, welcome back, Peter. Appreciate all that you do for not just me, but, you know, thousands of people around the world now. Peter hosts shows in Alaska, the Philippines, China. He's all over the world trying to spread the word of Louisa Picaretta and this gift of the divine will. So welcome back, Peter. Great to have you.
Well, thank you, Ken. Yeah, you know, God has a wonderful sense of humor. I think we're all examples of it. And just for the record, at that Malvern retreat, there was no alcohol on the presence. It was a smoke-free environment, so people were not. I mean, see, this natural high is what Adam possessed, what Eve possessed. We had nothing. We had no desires outside of God himself. And that's where he's bringing us back. And that's what's so beautiful about this gift of divine will. And you're right. You know, Sister Francesca, always a joy. You know, if I'm not feeling 100% and I need somebody that I know is going to always know what to say at the right time, Sister Francesca, she makes it so easy. But Sister, again, I can't go into her dossier because we take half the program, but I will tell you this. Sister is a unique blend of street smarts of New York City, which you cannot teach, and a unique keen understanding of the divine will. And when you put that together, you have, voila, what we have today.
Very good.
It's very simple.
Oh, yeah.
I just love it when people are told that I'm from New York, especially from the Bronx, because to me that's just like, it'll explain to them my character, and then they'll understand we're a different breed. But it's so good to be here. It's funny, Pina, that you say I have such a keen knowledge of the divine will. I was just reading a little bit earlier and just kind of pondering and praying, and the divine will is one of those things is you always feel like you're at the beginning, but in a good
way.
Like, it's just, it goes deeper and deeper, and the Lord just keeps revealing more and more secrets of his heart, and it's just so beautiful because there's 36 volumes. I've read them maybe four. I think I'm at the end of my fourth time reading it, and it's always new. It never gets old.
Well, I think when we think we understand it, that's when we're really in grave danger, because
yeah.
we're never going to fully understand it, but God
Amen.
Is going. See, he really does, he gives us the understanding commensurate to our desire. It's just, you know, whatever you put in is what he's going to give you. And because he's frugal. He wants to give us everything, but he wants to know that we're going to treasure it. You know, wherever your treasure is, there will be your heart. So he wants us to, and that's why he says, one of the requirements is he wants us to ask for this gift. Now you may say, well, why does God need us to ask? He knows our hearts. He knows our minds. He does. But he wants to hear us ask for it, because that is our nature in the human creature. We ask, we verbalize internally, subliminally, externally, but he wants us to ask. He wants to make sure we want his gifts, and that's why it's so easy. And, you know, a couple of things I like to start off with about the easiness of this. You know, the first thing is volume 36, which is sort of like the finale. That's when God, you know, it's like a firework display. You get everything in volume 36. He gives you all the things that you need to take away to go on to this journey. So volume 36, May 6th, 1938, this is what our blessed Lord states. My good daughter, it is very easy to enter my will, since your Jesus never teaches difficult things. My love makes me adapt to human capabilities so that the creature can do with no difficulty what I teach and what I want. End quote. So, in other words, God is lowering himself to us so that we may understand. And then he goes on, last thing I'll say before turning it back over to you both, Volume 11, September 25th, 1913. If you're ever having a dry day, please go to this passage. This is what our blessed Lord stated to Louisa, and he says to Louisa, he's also speaking through us, through Louisa to us. He says, quote, my daughter, I had to do this in such a way that this sanctity, this gift of living the divine will, might be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. It had to be easy and accessible in all conditions, in all circumstances, and in every place. End quote. So we don't have to go looking for this. We don't have to try to understand this. We just have to want this. We must believe. We must trust. That's the most difficult thing, Ken, is believing, I believe, and trusting in this divine will that this is God speaking. He's speaking. Louisa wrote it. Jesus dictated, the Blessed Mother dictated, if we believe these words to be true, we are home free, because then we accept everything that's being said. The church has accepted it. Why should we not? Remember, if somebody goes against something that has the church's seals of approval, the imprimatur and the nihil obstat, if somebody goes against it and says, no, that's not right, they're in heresy. Mm. And again, they may not know it. So we pray for them. We don't blast them. We don't bash them. We pray for them, because most people, Jesus says, most are not going to accept this. Most are not going to understand it, because they're going to try to understand it through the human lens, and they're going to try to understand it looking to find fault, to split hairs. And he says also in volume 36 that if you look to split hairs, you will be blinded. You will not receive anything that I'm giving. But if you trust me, just like the simple fishermen did, the apostles, they trusted Jesus and everything became easy. It's really that simple.
Right,
sister, you agree. I mean,
oh,
again,
yeah. Well,
you have,
but
I,
we
I
as humans,
understanding. I'm not putting you on a platform, but you know what you know, and you know what you don't know, and
right.
You know enough to know that this is everything. Is that easy?
Yeah.
But, I'm still trying to process that. I think the key.
I don't even know what I said, but
yeah. I think the key is to realize that you know nothing. You know, it's really. I mean, as you're speaking, it's so true. It's. The ball is in Jesus' court. I think the temptation in the beginning, and this is my temptation, I think, with everything I do, it's like we want to be good at it right away. We want to understand everything right away. We have this, ingrained in ourselves probably since the fall. You know, we have to prove ourselves. We have to earn God's love. But I feel like the divine will just turns that upside down. Like you said, Peter, we just have to give the Lord our desire and ourselves, just surrendering ourselves and trust to him. And he takes care of everything. He gives us sip by sip in a way each of us is going to understand. And he does it day by day. He doesn't, you know, he's not hitting us. He's not showering us with a fire hydrant. He knows what we can handle. Just a little bit of reading every day, open to the Holy Spirit, you know, if you can do it before the Blessed Sacrament or in a quiet place in your home, and just let the Spirit speak to you and drop those little jewels into your heart that he wants you to pull out of the writings that you just read.
Yeah. And, you know,
Ken, what Sister just said there is so true. And I think I mentioned this one time before. If we approach this gift of the divine will like it's a master's course or a doctorate course, and we sit at the desk and we have a lamp and we have a cup of coffee and we're getting uptight, to me, that's not the way I learn. The best policy for me to do is when the room is quiet, when the house is quiet, which isn't often, but when it does, I grab a book, I put on a little light, I go on a couch, I get a blanket, I get a cup of tea or coffee, and I read it casually. I read it comfortably. I read it calmly. And then everything seems to make sense. But if I do it at a desk with a light and the phone ringing and a cup of coffee here, no, it's just like, this is not being in class again. This is the joy of life being explained in words, only because that's the only way we're going to get it initially. And then everything else after the words it's mystical. It's spiritual.
Yeah. Oh, and it's beautiful. And you know, my background with recovery from alcoholism, and you know, the people, it's much like the faith. The people that struggle the most in trying to work a 12-step program are usually the smart people. And, you know, we're always looking for an angle or a shortcut, or, you know, there's got to be more to it than just what's being presented. And so we complicate it sometimes to the point where we miss it completely. And the show that I do before this one with Father McKay called Saints and Sinners, and we were talking last hour that it's almost 8 years now that we've been doing that show. So we've been through the liturgical calendar and the saints 8 times, you know, 300 shows or more. And that when you look at who Jesus came to, especially the canonized saints, they weren't the most intellectual bunch. You know, some of them certainly were, but... and especially with the Blessed Mother and her appearances and her apparitions, rarely ever to any intellectuals. It's usually to those that are the, you know, what society would consider the uneducated or the lowest of the low. And that's because they're the ones that would be open to and willing to learn and to accept. And so I think the same thing happens with this gift of the divine will. You kind of need to unlearn some things and realize, you know, what Jesus Christ is trying to do in this book of heaven and with introducing us to the gift of the divine will. And that's why I think, especially on these shows on Wednesday, we have a little following of people that hopefully we have a big following, but at least a segment of that are folks that are in recovery. And we know that the only way we're going to survive is through a relationship with God and trying to do his will. And with the gift of the divine will, what it took me a little while to realize is that we're no longer trying to do God's will. We're trying to live in his will, so that everything we do from the moment we wake up until the moment we go to sleep, and even when we're sleeping, is done in his will. And that's why I think the recovery community is a great place for this to grow.
I totally agree. And even if it's not in recovery, you know, God has sort of recovery programs all throughout life. And mine, you know, again, I think I told you about, I'm not going to hash this again, but I thought I was a big shot. I was on Wall Street and blah, blah, blah. And he just couldn't get my attention. And the way he had to get it was take everything away from me within like 6 months. And I went crawling back to my parents' house. I went crawling into a church for the first time. And that's how he got me. So again, God is going to get us, because he doesn't want to let us go. He doesn't want to lose one soul.
Amen.
And that's why it's so beautiful, this gift. And again, there are things you're going to hear in the gift of the divine will that are going to sound so incredibly great that you're going to say, can this be true? Well, my advice to those who are going to, and you're going to, I still do it. Just think about this. Did you determine you're going to be born? Did you allow yourself to wake up? Are you in control of your blood flowing, of your lungs breathing? Of course not. It's God's most holy divine will. See, he took everything away from Adam, but he really didn't take everything away. It's still God's divine will breathing in our lungs, flowing in our blood, and thinking in our intellect. It's still there. Because if he had taken that away, Adam would have ceased to exist and we wouldn't be here. He had to give us an opportunity for redemption, which he did 2,000 years ago. Now he's giving us the sanctification. He says, I had to make this easy and accessible to all. Not just those in New York, not just those in Pennsylvania, to all. Unless they did not want it. So we have, but see, how are we going to want it? I guess the more we learn about it, sister, the more we read about it and allow it to sink in, the more we say, this is the greatest gift. Well, look at the Son of My Will. This is a biography of Luisa Picaretta, published by the Vatican Publishing Company. It says in the conclusion that this gift of the divine will does appear to be the greatest gift that God can give to mankind. It says that, and the Vatican published it. They're not going to publish this if they have any regrets or any doubts about that. This is real. This is right here. And if we miss it, you know, it's like, you ever hear that? Don't miss the boat. God is looking for us to recognize this. He's given us everything we need to recognize it. So we just need to hopefully take this jovial program, this fun program, and just say, you know what? There may be something here. Let me look into it. And you won't know until you try.
Yeah. It's true. God's wooing us through these writings. That's the importance of the knowledges. I think sometimes we interpret it as if we, okay, I need to learn these knowledges so much so I could, you know, pass my thesis or earn a doctorate. But it's really knowledge, the knowledges that are in there so we can know God more and so we can fall more in love with him. And I'm actually up to volume 36 now. And it's just really, the Father's heart is just broken wide open. He's holding nothing back from us. And I think that's at the heart of it all. That's where it all gets really simple. We just have to learn to be loved by our Father again. We have to learn that we're infinitely loved and we're irreplaceable and irrepeatable and we're his special possession. And he's just looking for us to entrust ourselves to him. And I think I was just reading a passage the other day that maybe I can read, but Jesus basically told that to Luisa, how to use so many loving strategies on you to show you the sweetness of living in my will. And that's really what the writings are. He's trying to untwist what the devil twisted at the fall, you know, doubt in the Father's love. And what he's trying to tell us here is you can't even imagine how much I love you.
Yeah, and I think...
And Ken, if I may, you know, what Sister said there is really important. He's wooing us, and he's to bring us back, okay, he's doing it through the Eucharist, and the Eucharist is the divine will for that 15 or 20 minutes that the Church says we're in perfect and whole communion. Again, depending on our disposition, of course. But the Eucharist is there, and why is it mandatory to go to church every week? Well, because... Again, he's bringing us back. He's actually creating addicts out of us. See, an addict is not bad. I mean, again, Satan has twisted that, and we've got bad addictions now. But to be addicted to God is what he's doing through the Eucharist, so that we cannot live. We don't want to live without that joy, without that peace. So he gives us a feed of it every week, and hopefully every day throughout the week, as we have a chance to have daily communion. And this is going to bring us back. The Eucharist with these knowledges, and of course, the sacrament of reconciliation, because remember, Jesus says four things that we must need to receive this gift. We must be in the state of grace. We must have an ardent desire. We must want it. We must ask for the gift. And we must have an upright intention. We want this because God wants us. We want to please God first, above all, and then we want to please others. So again, it's very easy. Again, he had to make this, as he says, easy and accessible to all, and he has. Again, the biggest hurdle, the biggest obstacle is believing and trusting in God that he can do this.
Yeah. And sister, I think sometimes it's difficult for people to love or trust if they've not been able to love or trust because of their brokenness here on this earth. That if we've not experienced, you know, real love, if we've not been able to trust people or others and maybe we have trusted and then had that trust broken, that it can be hard for us to trust God and to know what it is to actually love God and experience His love.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And I think I was just praying about that the other day. You know, I was in prayer and I was struggling with a weakness of mine and a fall that I keep going into. And I was just kind of complaining to the Lord, how could you love my poverty? Because my spiritual director keeps trying to tell me, the Lord, you have to let the Lord love you in your poverty. And I kept asking, how can you love my poverty? How can you love my poverty? And what I felt the Lord say to my heart is, those are the doorways into the most intimate places of your heart. And it just touched me so profoundly because it helped me to realize there's nothing I can't bring to Him. And, you know, all of our weaknesses, our past sinfulness, maybe even our present sinfulness that we're still struggling with, you know, the brokenness that we've maybe experienced from our families, relationships, the wounds that others have inflicted on us, and maybe we've inflicted on others. There's nothing that we can't bring to the Lord, and He's ready and willing and waiting to actually enter our heart through those very wounds and heal us there. Through the grace of God, I've experienced in a lot of different areas. I still have, you know, a long journey to go. It'll, you know, like all of us, it'll be the rest of my life, but those areas of pain and woundedness do become sweet when we allow the Lord to come there and show us that He's loving us right there.
Amen. I think, Ken, it's in our nothingness is when we can only find our everything. And that's what has, because otherwise we think everything else is everything. It's the world. It's this, it's that. But when we have nothing but God, He brings us back. He takes all this away from us. You know, Psalm 73 is a great psalm to read. It helps us with the material world. It helps us with those opportunities when we have envy of who has something else. Or how about those are so bad. Those people are so bad. But look all they have. Look at the position they have. All this comes to an end in Psalm 73. He says, one day they're going to wake up as if everything was a dream. Nothing is real except God. And God is giving us in His whole self. You know, Father Iannuzzi articulated what Jesus says. He says to Luis and to us that this is the greatest gift that he's given to mankind. But Father Iannuzzi also reminds us it's the greatest gift that God can give to mankind because He's giving His whole self. So there's nothing, I mean, there's no more chasing butterflies. There's no place we can go to. There's no adoration. There's nothing we can do that can basically, for lack of a better word, top this. So if we have everything, we have everything except the beatific vision. That's coming. So it's all here. It's all here for the taking. Amen. You got to make it easy and accessible to all, and He has.
Very good.
In a fun way. It really is a fun. I mean, I can't explain the joy. I mean, Jesus says sometimes we're gonna look crazy to others because, you know, the world is spiraling out of control, and here we are with happy faces. I mean, I've had people say, I've been in supermarkets. Excuse me, sir. Can I ask you a question? Why are you so happy? And I said, well, I don't think I can explain it to you right now. But you have to trust God. And she just looked at me. She smiled. I think people know the route to get back. I just think they need to be coerced sometimes, pushed sometimes, or just nudged. And once we begin that journey, like Sister said, there's no turning back.
Amen. The one thing I as you're saying that, you know, I was thinking about our own cynical with Maureen and Deacon John Thompson and them, and of course all the people that made the retreat at Malvern. And, you know, there's literally thousands of people around the world that are praying that it gets real bad real fast because of what's coming after. And it's not that they want people to experience pain or what have you, but as you know, this crazy world of ours looks like it continues to spiral out of control, there's actually, you know, people that are like cheerleaders in the background, and it's like, yeah, this is what Jesus said was going to happen. This is what the various seers in the 20th century and the beginning of this century, said that, you know, this is the stuff that's going to happen if we don't straighten our act out. And, you know, we're getting to witness it and watch it unfold. We don't know when, you know, exactly it's going to, you know, things are going to happen and how they're going to play out. But the trust that the people that are trying to incorporate this gift of the divine will in their lives, there's no fear. And it's like, let it get bad. And because, you know, it's like we're going to have that storm and then the rainbow is going to come after. And, you know, what's coming is going to be, you know, like you said earlier, Peter, absolutely glorious. So got just about a minute before we have to take a break. I don't know, Sister, if you want to make a comment or.
Sure. Yeah, just the thing that was popping into my head when you were speaking is the importance of accepting God's permissive will, too.
Amen.
And I think that's where you can keep your peace through everything that's going on in the world, because you have that trust that he's not allowing anything unless he can bring a greater good out of it. And you know it's going to be a much greater good. Look at the darkest day in human history, the crucifixion of our God, and look what that brought out, you know, our salvation, our sanctification. So there's nothing evil that can happen in the world that doesn't happen without God permitting it and without him bringing out a greater good.
Amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a short break. When we come back, I think, Sister, you said you had a reading prepared that you wanted to...
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so for our listeners, we're just going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have Sister read for us from the Book of Heaven. Don't go away.
Kathleen,
we'll be right back.
Kathleen McCarthy enhances my life in so many. She's a friend, a teacher, and at times, a true spiritual mother. She has the great gift of meeting and loving each person where they are at. My name is Kathy Tierney. After I met Kathleen, I started to listen to her radio programs. In the Silence of My Heart is so special, because the words provoke personal meditation and reflection. It gives gems to think about Jesus' love for me and for each of us. Our Lord then put Kathleen and Father Dermot Roach together when the Holy Spirit is with you. What a match. Wow. The program is an hour, but amazingly it is like a coffee break that flies by. Our Blessed Mother and the Holy Spirit brought us the child Jesus. And Kathleen and Father Dermot bring Jesus, the Word, to the opening of every program. After the reading of the Holy Gospel, their teaching conversation so stirs your heart and soul, you will know the Holy Spirit is with you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's Word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. Again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and all that you do for us, both your prayerful and financial support that allows us to bring you great shows like today's, and especially allow me to be able to be here and bring you the programming that we're able to do, especially on this last Wednesday of the month, Divine Will Wednesday. Our guests again are Peter DePalma, all the way from Kunkeltown, Pennsylvania, and Sister Francesca, all the way from Italy. And you know, before we went to the break, I think we mentioned, Sister, that you may have prepared one of the readings from Louisa's writings for us that you wanted to share.
Yes, it was a passage that I read right before we came on the air. It's from Volume 36, May 19th, 1938. Jesus tells Louisa, and to us through Louisa, "My daughter, be brave and don't be troubled. All that your Jesus did was necessary to my love and to the importance of what I had to reveal about my divine will. I can say that it was necessary for my very life and to accomplish the work of creation. That is why when this condition of yours began, I had to use so many loving stratagems. I became so intimate with you that it was almost unbelievable how far I went and how much I made you suffer to see if you would surrender to everything. Then I overwhelmed you with my graces and with my love. And again, I gave you more sufferings to be sure you would deny me nothing. And I did all of this to win your will. Oh, if I hadn't shown you my love, I wouldn't have given you so many graces. Do you think you would have easily submitted yourself to this state of suffering so long? It is my love, my truths that kept you and still keep you there as if magnetized to the one who loves you so much. Indeed, everything I did at the beginning of your condition had to be. Louisa, for those of you who aren't too familiar with her writings, is a victim soul, so we don't have to fear. Oh my goodness, if I live in the divine will, am I going to suffer as much as Louisa? I mean, we may. I mean, you know, we all have to pick up our cross and follow the Lord. But what I love about this passage, Louisa was doing a little bit of complaining before it, which I love because she's very real and she's very intimate with the Lord and she doesn't hold anything back. She's completely open before him. And I think he loves that. And he answers all of her complaints. So it's okay to be real with the Lord. He doesn't want us, you know, putting on any masks or hiding anything. But I love this passage too, because it shows the beauty that the Lord brings out of the parts of our lives that we don't understand, that seem difficult. When we were talking before, I just kept thinking, what a grace rock bottom is. We have to hit rock bottom. I think everybody does at a certain point or not, and then we can choose how we're going to respond to that rock bottom. But it's at that rock bottom that the Lord could really enter in. And I loved when he told Louisa, I had so many loving stratagems with you. And those areas, that's where he really wants to get intimate with us and show us how much he loves us. But if we keep him at an arm's distance or we keep filling ourselves with other things, we don't let him in. But at rock bottom, it's we have no choice. You know, he gets us to a point where we have no choice and we open up. And then the more we grow closer to him, the more we trust him and realize that he's weaving just a beautiful gift out of everything that happens in our lives. And that's when we eventually come to the point where we can willingly suffer because we know it's bringing out a greater good. We know we're with him and his sufferings. We know we're relieving his sufferings too, because the bridegroom on the cross has his bride next to him that's keeping him company. This passage just very much struck me because there's always hope no matter what suffering anybody's going through. And I know a lot of people are going through a lot of suffering right now. And I don't mean to minimize any of that, but in that very suffering, the Lord is looking to marry you. He's looking to bring you into the desert, like Hosea 2 says, and to marry his bride and to enter into deep intimacy with you right in that very suffering, because there's no place we can be closer to Jesus than on the cross with him.
And he knows that better than anyone does. And, you know, he says also, Ken, and Sister knows this, that Jesus says that he placed more grace for us in the cross than in the sacraments. So he also says, you want to measure my love for you? Look at how many crosses you have. Back to you, the more crosses you have, the greater is his love. You know, it's interesting. Sister also touched on the permissible will of God, the mysterious permissible will. And, you know, the ultimate, like Sister said, was the Father who gave his only Son. But think about our lives. Just take a tragedy in our lives, whatever it may be. Take the darkest moment in our life and then ask ourselves a really honest question. If God's permissible will did not allow that event to occur, would we be here today? And the answer is unequivocally no. We needed that like a bumper car to hit the wall to be sent off in a different direction. So again, when we're stuck in traffic, thanks be to God, maybe you're preventing me from being involved in an accident. But there's always a reason. So we should never be disgusted at delays or frustrated at things that don't go our way. I mean, who are we to dictate the way things should go? God will dictate in his permissible will, and he'll actually allow that to play out in the natural order. You know, God performs miracles every day, but he allows the natural order. That's how we can learn. Without these situations and obstacles, how can we exercise the virtues and grow? We can't. If everything was perfect, we would never grow. So again, the more turmoil in our lives, we're going to be grateful for all those situations because it gave our soul a chance to expand.
Amen.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. And sister, you know, you had mentioned that Louisa was a victim soul, and you know, we only do this show once a month, and probably have some new listeners that aren't familiar with the life of Louisa. And it'd probably take a whole show just to go through it, but maybe just a quick overview, because you know this was a young girl who was for the most part perfectly healthy, and you know was called by Christ in her teenage years to be that victim soul. Would you mind taking a couple of minutes just to let folks know who Louisa was?
Sure, she was in. Peter, correct me when I'm wrong. I'm not great with details, but she was basically a young Southern Italian girl. She had mystical experiences from when she was very little. She was typically shy, and then at one point, very, very religious, very pious. And at one point in her adolescence, I think it was her late teens, she had a vision from her balcony of Jesus holding the cross, covered in wounds, with the crowds, you know, yelling at him and beating him. And he looked up to her and he said, "Soul, will you help me?" And pretty much from then on, she was confined to bed. Her mystical experiences, when she would fall into kind of a rigid state or a state of ecstasy, happened gradually in the beginning, but she ended up in bed for pretty much 64 years. She didn't eat, sleep, or drink anything. She was given a little bit of food, but she would bring it up every day. And it's actually pretty cool. She would bring it up more beautifully than when it went in. And I had heard a story that they used to give that food that she brought up that looked so, that was perfect, to people who were sick, and they would receive healings by taking that food. So God is so full of invented ways to perform miracles. But when she was in bed those 64 years, pretty much every day she would suffer the crucifixion. She begged the Lord for her she had the stigmata, but she begged the Lord for it to be invisible, because she was just a humble soul. She thought, she knew she was nothing. She didn't want to draw any attention to herself. And the Lord would come and teach her about his divine will. And eventually her confessor put her under obedience to start writing down everything that the Lord would tell her, which was probably one of the biggest sufferings. That was probably her second biggest suffering. Her first suffering was that it was always a priest who would have to come and wake her up out of her rigid state. She was basically in a state of ecstasy all night long. She was rigid. The Lord would take her sometimes throughout the world to see various sufferings, various offenses that he was receiving, that she was suffering for, to kind of urge her on in her suffering. But she wouldn't be able to come out of that state on her own. A priest would have to come in and bless her with the words, "Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One." And that would bring her out of her rigid state. That was the biggest cross for her, because she didn't want to bother the priest, which I think is, she suffered the crucifixion every day, and that was her biggest cross. She's just an incredible soul, Louisa. Anything that the Lord asked you to suffer, he always asked her. You know, he never forced her to do anything. He never forces himself upon us. But her love was so great for him that she said yes to everything. So that's what a victim soul is, willingly taking on the sufferings of Christ and the sufferings of others to satisfy divine justice. And she did that in an extraordinary, heroic way.
And so,
and let's not lose the moment there, too. Listen to the words that were used to bring Louisa out of her state of rigidness. Holy God, Holy Mortal, the words in the Divine Mercy.
Amen.
And also the first feast day of Divine Mercy, when ushered in to the church by St. Pope John Paul II, was on Louisa's birthday. Okay? And then the third, for the hat trick here, is Louisa actually said to Jesus, you know, well, actually, she's speaking to the Father, "You must show the world your mercy. You must." And 9 months later, after she spoke to God the Father, Sister Faustina was born. So again, you can't make this stuff up. God has fun, but by planting so many hints and hiding so many things from us, again, that's our job. Once we start journeying this divine will, our job is to unveil everything that God has placed for us. It's a little bit of work, but God has to see that we want this, and that's how we can demonstrate to him our desire. It's just absolutely incredible.
No, and that's where I think the work of Father Sasso, Father Iannuzzi, the Sister Francesca, and the Benedictine sisters, who have basically dedicated their lives to studying and breaking this open for us, and to come up with those links that, you know, this didn't happen in a vacuum, that it's all part of a larger plan. And, you know, oh, by the way, we'll incorporate Sister Faustina and Divine Mercy and other things that were going on in the 20th century in order to people understand that the bigger picture. And that's why I think is the more time that we spend with this and going through it. And for some people, it can be daunting. I just had a gentleman yesterday that we got into a spiritual conversation, and I brought up Louisa, and he had never heard anything about her or the Book of Heaven. And it was kind of typical where, you know, oh, where can I get this book? And it's like, well, before you get it, I just want to let you know it's about 10,000 pages. You're not going to get through it in a couple of weeks. The guy's an avid reader, and it's like, you're not going to get through this in a week or two. And, you know, and that's not the way that it's meant to be. And I think because of that, sometimes people will get, and I know when I first learned about it, I was overwhelmed when I was trying to give one of Daniel O'Connor's books to a friend of mine. And they're like, oh, you must be learning about the divine will, and you need to get in touch with Maureen and Deacon John. And when I first talked to them, and I heard that they were meeting an hour and a half every morning at 6 a.m., I'm going to get out of bed at 5:30 in the morning to do this. And I said, no way. And I just blew it off. And a month later, Maureen called me back and said, you know, yeah, I put your name on my heart. You know, we're still around if you want to join us. And I set my alarm for the next morning. And it coming up on 2 years now, I think, that I've been at this. And still sometimes it's overwhelming. It's because I was just trying to, wait a minute, it's got to be getting ready for the Christmas novena, and there's this to do and that to do, and the passion clock and all these other things that have spun off of the basics. And it can be, if you let it, it can be so overwhelming. And I think this is where the evil one comes in. It's like, you're never going to get all this. Why even bother? And I've had that happen in other areas of my life where you just throw up our hands and it's like, I'm never going to get this, or I don't understand it, or there's just way too much here. I don't have the time. And so we give up. And I think that's where, Sister, when you were saying earlier, to read a little bit each day, Father Celso talks about always emphasizing reading the calendar, that the writings of, over the course of almost 40 years, but the writings that took place on that particular calendar day, like November 29th, whether it's 1902 or 1912, 1922. And so we don't have to know all this, and we never will, I don't think. Like you said, you're going through it for the fourth time and the lights are still coming on. It's just like the Bible and Scripture. And you can read the same passage 30 times, and the 31st time, all of a sudden, something new breaks open for you, right?
Yeah, because, you know, you're also in different places of your life every time you go through the volumes. It usually takes me around 3 years to go through the 36. So, and the thing is, too, it's like when we read, it's relationship. It's not to pass a test at the end of the day. You know, it's like, what does God want to tell me today and what I have to read? You know, I like what you were saying earlier, the show, Peter, you know, you get in a comfy place and get a blanket and you get your cup of coffee. I love that because it's like Jesus is just curling up with us, you know, just wanting to talk to us. And I think all those other pressures, you know, I feel them too. And it's definitely a temptation in so many areas of our lives, but it's a pressure that we put on ourselves. I think we think it's coming from God. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. But we don't have to.
Yes, sister, I think this is also, it's the divine will is quality over quantity. It's not how much we read. It's what we can obtain to the best of our ability, and then God will do the rest. Like, for example, St. Hannibal de Francia, who was Louisa's spiritual director for 17 years, but he was also the spiritual director for Melanie Calvert, the seer of Our Lady of La Salette, fully approved apparition of our church. He only read 1 to 2 passages a day because he wanted to fully understand to the best of his ability what he was reading, and then, again, let God to take him to the level of contemplation so that he can know more of just behind the words, you know, that language of heaven that we speak about. But you know, another thing too, we have to be careful of, and I know sometimes I hear this and I get a little bit nervous. I have to say that some people say, well, you have to have the 36 volumes, otherwise you cannot receive this gift, or you must read all 36 volumes, and you otherwise you can't receive the gift. Well, if we say that, we're really bridging on the heresy of Gnosticism. Remember, this is a mystical gift, that God can give mystical gifts to whomever he wishes. They're not given equally like our baptismal gifts. They're given to God's good pleasure. But the caveat, if God has made these volumes available to us, he is looking for us to be acquainted with them as quickly as we can, because again, what will the divine will do? It'll allow us to know God to the greatest extent we can and to know ourselves. And the more we recognize who we are and what we aren't, we gravitate more toward God. So again, we have to be careful. But again, if God has placed these volumes at our disposal within our realm of possibility, then we are expected to read them and to listen to them. There's volume, there's audiobooks as well.
Yeah, and I'll just put a plug here for Peter's website is queenofthedivinewill.org. That's queenofthedivinewill.org. We were kind of joking before we came on the air that there's tons and tons and tons of material. You could live to be 180 and never be able to listen to or read it all. But if you are looking to make a start, you can scroll down on the home page and you'll see the Book of Heaven, 36 volumes in text and audio. Might not be a bad place to start if you want to take a look at the volumes. Some of the other things that are out there, and one that people get a lot out of is, and you can do it anytime, but especially during Lent, is the 24 hours of the Passion that are described in a way that I've never seen before, in the details that are provided from Jesus to Louisa regarding his Passion. You can find that on Peter's website as well. And is there a link on here, Peter, to get on your mailing list?
There is, if you can find it, it's another story, but you can just simply send an email to me at maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org and just ask to be placed on the list. We will make sure to harass you, to keep you informed about it. Because we have 6 live cynicals a week. We actually speak about Mother Gabriel and the Benedictine Daughters. We have them at least 8 times a month. We've got every Sunday is a Divine Will Sunday with Mother and the Sisters, either from Tennessee or from Italy. And then we have them every Thursday morning on Radio Maria. So you can clearly find your fix if you're looking to start your journey with Mother and the Sisters. And I highly recommend that because, again, everyone that God has given us, whether it be Father Nuzzi, Father Celso, Daniel O'Connor, Mother Gabriel, everyone brings us the divine will from a slightly different perspective, a slightly different view of blue, so to speak. And but again, we can technically learn it from Father Anuzzi. Practically, we can learn it from Father Celso. But my personal opinion and categorization would be with Mother and the Sisters, you're seeing it lived out. And we can emulate what we can do, and we can adapt to what we cannot do if we can't do it one-to-one. So, it's a beautiful opportunity for each of us to grow. I mean, the sisters tell me also that when they get together those days, you know, they learn more about each other because what passages they select and what knowledge they have. Because, again, they're so busy. It's a quasi-monastic life, so they have a lot of prayer time, a lot of chore time. There's some gelato time. But, so when they come together like this, it's good for everybody. And, of course, God is elated because, again, when 2 or more gather, he's present.
So is it true that Sister Francesca opted to stay in Italy just for the gelato? Is that true?
No, and the pizza.
Oh, and the pizza. Okay. So is that the plan, Sister, for you to remain in Italy for a while?
Yeah, that's the plan for now. We'll see what the Lord has planned in the future, but But I'm happy here. It's really, the Lord has placed us in the middle of paradise. If you saw the view from our kitchen window, it's extraordinary. I've been here 10 years. I'm not sick of it yet.
Right. Ah, that's awesome.
Do you want to give your website? Because you could actually get a view of that, of some of the backdrop of where you are.
Yes, it's benedictinesofdivinewill.org. And if you go on the family tree page and scroll down to Louisa, you can find all of her writings there, and you can find lots of great websites, different resources, the Drop Book, which is a book that a mother of seven kids wrote to explain the divine will for her children. If you kind of wanted an overview of the divine will before you dive into the writings, it's really well done. It's a nice explanation. Her children drew the pictures, which are really precious. So you can find everything there.
Very good.
Yeah, well, you know, the drop books is a pure emulation of how simple this gift is. See, Jesus says, I had to make this. Remember, he said he had to make it easy and accessible to all, even a dope like me. He had to make it accessible and easy. So, again, sometimes our fear of the unknown is so great that we have these blockages that you talk about Deacon John Thompson. First time he came over, he said there's 36 volumes. I said, nope, sorry, Deacon, I can't do it. I haven't gone back for my master's. I'm not going to start now. I'm too old for this stuff. And basically, but you know what? God just, I mean, you're reading from volume 2, and he's taking you to volume 14 without you even knowing it. And then you're in volume 24. And then when you read volume 24, wait, I read that in volume 2. It's all connected in a very mystical way. Again, like Father Nizzi says, difficult. The divine will is difficult to explain in words, but easy to understand once we accept it. Why? Because once we give our fiat, like our Blessed Mother, perfect example, everything is done for us. It's easy once we say yes, once we show God that we believe him, once we prove to God that we trust him, he does the work. But we have to do that first. We need to take the first step.
Amen. I got just a couple of minutes left before we have to bring the show to a close, so I'll ask for final thoughts, Sister Peter.
Final thoughts. As you were talking about Mary's Hill program, how we're the practical way of living the divine will, it's all we're capable of. We just share what the Lord gives to us in prayer and reading, and we hope we can communicate to everybody, not what we know or what the Lord's revealing to us, but that he wants to do that with everybody. We're all called to do that. So I just encourage everybody out there to just pick up the volume, start reading, and see where the Lord takes you, because he loves us all. He doesn't love just certain people or priests or nuns. He loves us all, and he's calling us all to deep, intimate union with him. So let him take you on that wonderful, wonderful romantic journey.
Very good. Well, I just interject
my
here.
My last thought would be, Ken, just really quickly, there's a shortage of gratitude to our blessed Lord. So Thanksgiving in Greek is expressed as Eucharist. So receive the Eucharist frequently. Give thanksgiving to God. Get addicted to his divine will, and everything is going to be greater than you ever, ever dreamed.
Yeah, and I have it written in my missal, too. And some people are like, how can you write in your missal? But I have different prayers that I put in there. And, you know, when I receive communion, it's from October the 2nd, 1913, where Jesus tells Louisa that after you receive communion, that our response should be, Jesus, I love you with your will. And so I try to get the Mass every day and have an opportunity to reflect on that each day. So, Sister, I don't know if I'll talk to you directly before Christmas. So I wish you and all the sisters, both in Italy and here in Tennessee, the best for a great Holy Advent and preparation leading up to Christmas, and a Merry Christmas. Peter, thanks for all that you do for us each month in bringing the sisters or one of the good fathers to In His Sign. I will put out there, too, if you have any questions about the Louisa or the Gift of the Divine Will, I am not the expert, but if you email me at Ken, K-E-N, at inhissign.com, I can try to answer them and also give you the details on this cenacle that meets at 7 mornings a week now, beginning at 6 a.m. Be more than happy to share that information with you. So, Peter and Sister, yeah, Thanks again for being with me this month, and I'm sure our paths will cross again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ken.
All right. God bless. Be good. And for our listeners, once again, on this Wednesday, the last Wednesday of November, and still one more day left in the month, and those I posted on a Substack and something you may be interested in, Not Saints Yet. It's called notsaintsyet.substack.com. My own website's notsaintsyet.org. And I wrote yesterday, and it's not late because it's still Thanksgiving. Every day should be Thanksgiving, and that's what I've written about. For those of us that are in recovery, a lot of times we'll call November Gratitude Month, of course, because Thanksgiving's part of it. But as Peter mentioned, our Lord is looking for gratitude and simple thank yous throughout the day for all the things that he provides. And one of the things that I'm thankful for and grateful for is the opportunity to be with you and to do these shows. So thank you again for all that you do for us and for me in particular here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. As mentioned a couple of times today, the liturgical calendar for 2023 is winding down. It'll wrap up on Saturday, and Sunday will kick off the Advent season. So in addition to, you know, my normal outgoing ideas, I pray that you will have a great Advent season in preparation for the celebration of Christmas this year, and that it will be completely new and different, and a different kind of encounter with Christ as we approach 2024. So thank you again for being with me today, and I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.